Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she is itching to ditch her Tesla after spat with Elon. Progressive rep says she wants to buy electric car made at unionized factory after Elon Musk told her to stop flirting with him on Twitter. That's it. We're in a simulation. It's a sitcom. It's all meant to be a silly joke. That's the only way I can explain it. AOC is so vapid. I mean, first of all, she parked her Tesla. What was it? She like double parked it or something? What is it?
Yeah, she illegally parked.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I heard that she has an infinity pool at at her apartment in D.C.
Whoa.
Really?
Like, where does she get all that money from? Members of Congress don't have money, you know? Yeah. Like, I heard stories of people sleeping in their congressional offices.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford on the salary to live both in their home jurisdiction and in D.C.
That's like the some congressmen who are actually broke, who didn't do much of the insider trading.
Right.
I don't know if I want to say names, but there are congressmen who definitely do not have money anymore. You don't make a lot of money.
How does AOC have a Tesla? Well, that's a $60,000 car. I mean, maybe hers is, what is that, like a Model Y or something?
I don't know. Yeah, older model? I don't know.
So what, she's getting...
I think that's the same one I have. No, it's not.
It does look similar, yeah.
No, we have a... I have a trunk, don't I?
Yeah.
No, mine's different.
I don't know
what that is. But it may be a $40,000 car, maybe 30. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Either way, it's like...
Not cheap.
I guess when you're making $177,000, you can get yourself a Tesla, huh?
I guess so.
Yeah. I think it's funny that her politics extend to petty high school drama. Elon Musk said, "Stop hitting on me. I'm really shy," with a blushing face.
He ratioed her with that. It was insane.
Yeah, she was talking about Zuckerberg, but he thought she was talking about him.
She said she was talking about Zuckerberg.
I was talking about Zuckerberg, but whatever.
Zuckerberg. He famously had a dinner with a bunch of high profile conservatives, and I Elon Musk doesn't own anything at the time, but I think Elon inspired the comment. Him buying this was the conversation. That's what was happening. So then he calls her out. Multiple sources confirm AOC owns a Tesla, parked it illegally. I just think this is modern politics in a nutshell. And that's why I wanted to bring it up and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real substance here. There's no real political issue. This is it. This is why your politicians do the things they do. Elon Musk said something that was mean to her. So now she's like, well, I want a unionized factory. Okay. Meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, modern politics is now TMZ, essentially.
Yeah,
What's the difference?
I was saying that I was in favor of the Green New Deal. This is in 2018, I think.
Right.
I did a segment where I was like, the idea that we would take tax revenue and invest it into renewable energies, I'm down. We got to fix our bridges. We got to fix our roads. They're falling apart.
Go to
LA,
yeah.
We got the budget for this stuff. Hire the people who need the jobs. Get them to work. I like it. Let's roll with it. AOC then comes out. What does she want? She wants free college for my underprivileged minorities, free health care. She wants to get rid of airplanes. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And when you point out how stupid what they brought up is, we had this dude, Matt Binder, on this Progressive, and he goes, well, minorities are the ones who are affected first. And I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with carbon emissions, dude?
Yeah.
Nah, there's no answers. They don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I like what you're saying. I mean, something that's a little controversial, but talking about, you know, going back to FDR and what he did. I mean, no one wants to talk about the public works programs that he did, actually employing hundreds of thousands of people across America, building our roads, doing forestry work, all these kind of things to help get us out of the Great Depression. It was actually a great program that worked.
Some argue it held us back, that it actually caused stagnation and actually stunted private sector growth, which would have caused a recovery. And a lot of people argue the Federal Reserve and, you know, these fuckwads were responsible for the Depression in the first place. I don't know about all that. All I can say is, if you're like, hey, we have tax money, let's not blow up kids in the Middle East, let's just build roads and give Americans jobs, that I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
You could even do it as a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants. Give them one of these jobs, have them work it for, I don't know, 6 years, maybe earn your citizenship.
Mm. Yeah. Instead, what we get is woke bullshit and petty dramas and, you know. So I don't know how we actually are supposed to solve these problems. I don't know
why. These aren't problems to solve.
Well, she wants to talk about climate change, right?
Oh,
all the Democrats want to come out. Bill Gates. Let's get right into the Davos World Economic Forum stuff.
No.
Bill Gates is like, climate change is a very serious problem, and we have too many people, so we need to make sure there's less people. And then he shorts Tesla. He takes a $500 million short against Tesla. And then Elon Musk is like, what the fuck, dude? Elon's doing more than anyone for this problem with electric cars.
Right.
And they're fucking him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this shows Bill Gates doesn't actually believe any of this shit.
He pushed Remdesivir, which didn't help anyone.
He just wants you to be afraid of it so he can offer you a solution that you can then buy, or that you can buy into and give your freedoms up for. That's it.
Wow. You think he's thinking that deep, or is he just doing it without thinking about it?
No, I think this guy, I think we underestimate our enemies to a great extent. I think this guy is absolutely evil.
They're much smarter than we give them credit for.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's always something wrong, we say, oh, these people are so stupid. Mm. They're much smarter than we give them credit for. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Many of the woke cultists are stupid. Well, that's evil, conniving individuals.
No, I know. Right. But these people know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
I had a conversation with this dude. So I went to Austin for this party. He was hanging out with a bunch of, like, I guess it was Elon Musk's friends. So a lot of, high-profile tech industry guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about a lot of these issues. One guy said, no one really understands the extent to which the censorship is going. He was explaining that, because he worked in the Trump administration, he had seen a lot of this firsthand. What they're doing is they're censoring just enough to make sure that the right is politically ineffective. And I'm just like, I hear you, dude, but I don't think it's working. You know, when you look at constitutional carry, for instance,
mm-hmm.
25 states have constitutional carry. The gun control is losing.
Right.
You know, they may be trying to do these things. They're certainly not succeeding.
Mm-hmm. It has worked in Europe in many ways.
Yeah, but Europeans are like, look, let me put it this way. There was this period of colonization where you had all of these Europeans. Half of them were like, I'm going to get on a boat for 3 months where I'll probably die and then land on a barren shore because fuck it. Hmm. And the rest of them were like, it's safe here. I'll stay. Well, the people who wanted to stay in Europe for the most part tend to be those who are like, I'm going to stay and work here. The people who got on those boats, 20% of them died on the journey. The rest of them land on a barren shore, hard ass motherfuckers, you know? So Americans are.
That's why we're so much tougher.
Well, there are some centuries later where we're still fighting massive wars amongst each other and people are not, so to say, soy boys. So I don't know if we shift all the big guys off.
No, all of them. I mean, but look at Norway and Sweden.
Yeah.
Berserker ass motherfuckers. You know what berserkers are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, have you guys seen Northmen?
Not yet.
We want to. Yeah.
So I thought it was good. I thought it was a good movie. I always say this.
Man's movie.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yes.
The main character is a berserker, movie? Right? They eat mushrooms or whatever, and then they're just like super ripped, and they're like, rah! And they go insane, and then start just like.
Brutally. Yeah, they wear bear skin.
Yeah,
that's and they the would berserkers. Just
beat the shit out of their fucking killing like crazy, and they're all like, rah! Yo, those are crazy motherfuckers. Now you go to Sweden, and they're like. Oh, no, I'm offended by your silly words. It's like, what happened, man?
Mm.
Well, fetal alcohol syndrome in her case. I don't know if that's real or not, but she doesn't look
I saw her once.
Oh, how was
Who
she
are you talking about? Greta Thunberg?
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. I just knew that. I just exposed myself there.
Did you have a chance to talk to her?
No, it was a very strange experience. I was in Stockholm. I lived in Stockholm for a couple of months, and I was sitting on a terrace at a cafe. And we were just, I was talking to my friend and all of a sudden I looked straight into the eyes of Greta Thunberg and I was just like, what?
And she went, how dare you?
Well, she did look at me for a split second with a look in her eyes where I thought that she might have recognized me as well. because we've been pitted against each other in the European debate very often, you know, as two young women, but one on the conservative side, one on the far left.
It'd be great to have you guys on the show together.
I don't think she would want to talk to me because, as you know, as you rightfully pointed out, that's not usually something that the left is very open to.
Do you think that she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about?
Do you think she was co-opted or that she's just misled, or do you think she has some good that she's doing?
She was misled.
I think her parents are to blame.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think we should attack that young girl for anything that she does. It's her parents and then the people who give her a platform.
Yeah.
Greta Thunberg, we must heed her call to kill 60 million people.
Jesus. Does she really want to just cut off oil access?
Yep.
Just stop?
Instantly. Overnight. She said, we will not wait till 2030 or 2022. We don't now. And I'm like, she may as well have just gone, I want to kill 60 million people. I want them dead.
Why are we still on oil? I feel like we've been on oil. So like in the 70s, they realized this is a problem. We need off oil. Is it just because fusion is too dangerous to give the common man? What do you guys think?
No, I mean, they're trying to work it out to put nuclear reactors, mini nuclear reactors in cars. I mean, that's some of the new technology that they're trying to develop.
Fun.
Yeah, it's really, really tiny, but it's like technology they're trying to work on.
You pour water in it.
I don't know.
Yeah, you would pour water.
Yeah, I guess so.
So what would happen is if you had a nuclear reactors, they turn water into steam.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a small piece of, I don't know what they would use, maybe thorium for a car, or liquid salt, you would, I don't know how they do it with thorium. I think it would be water, and then this liquid thorium sits in the bottom and it heats the water. You'd have to, it would pressurize the system. So you'd fill up with a bunch of water, it would create pressure, and then you'd drive on it.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly if that's what they're intending to do, but that probably seems like the most efficient way to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be a steam car.
Yeah. I mean, going back to oil, I mean, the price of oil, oil isn't going very well right now. All of these oil companies have permits that they could go and drill, but they don't want to drill. The people who are investing in oil don't want to go and drill oil. I mean, I hear conservatives talking about, well, the permits aren't in places where they can actually drill for oil, but it's really not true. I mean, people just don't want to go and drill for oil because they're seeing the future come at them and they don't want this type of energy anymore. I think a lot of people are understanding that nuclear energy is the way, but I don't think that, in my opinion, I don't think you should be subsidizing much green energy from the government right now. I don't think that the technology is there to make it worthwhile enough. I mean, if you wanted to do the entire state of Texas, you would need a size of land that is as big as Houston, Harris County, all of this. I mean, it's massive amounts of land
Let's bring it back to like the World Economic Forum shit where they're Greta Thunberg very much is a big component in all of this shit.
She's a child soldier.
She's a propagandist so that they can say America should shut down its industry. Meanwhile, China is rapidly expanding. This is where you know they're full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are like, you know, climate change is a very real problem. Shut the fuck up. Barack Obama bought beachfront property. I actually pulled up the IPCC map or whatever, and it's like if the water levels rose 3 feet, half his property is submerged. And they're saying that the worst case scenario is like 20 feet or some shit. Yeah, Obama would have lost his house. He didn't give a shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about this stuff. They're trying to get you to give up. They're trying to get you to – they want to destroy the U.S. economy. They want I think they want control. And the big problem for, you know, this Davos group, Americans got guns. Mm-hmm. How do you stop America when there's a gun behind every blade of grass? You gut it from the inside. You destroy it culturally and economically. Yep. And then it won't matter if we have guns.
Yeah. You make the people weak.
And we don't have guns. So go figure we're all the pilot countries for all of this shit.
And why is it that in America we have guns and in Europe you don't? Because the crazy motherfuckers left and they were like, I want guns! And then right now
the
you have...
crazy motherfuckers left.
They did. They certainly did.
I like your explanation, but I'm very worried for my continent. Incredibly worried. Because this is, I mean, the fact that we don't have guns and the fact that most Europeans are so far away from even distrusting their governments just a little bit, you know, terrifies me.
Well, was it 92% vaccinated in the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 92%.
You guys do have guns. Check us out.
You do, yeah.
From Netherland Times.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. No, we do have a Moroccan mafia.
That's nice.
No, and they shot a journalist in bright daylight a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we had a lawyer killed who was an attorney. No, man, it was an attorney for one of the key witnesses. He got murdered, you know, so the Moroccan mafia gets around.
And the politician years ago who was like one of the only good politicians.
Oh, we've had Pim, in the Netherlands. Pim Fortuyn, yeah. Who was about to be prime minister of the country. He was a conservative. In 2000, was it 2002 that he was shot? Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
Then, yeah, and then a year later, we had, or a year before that, we had Theo van Gogh, an Islam critic who was shot. Or stabbed, actually.
Well,
so,
no, there hasn't been anyone.
He shouldn't have criticized Islam.
Yeah, it's just his own fault. No, but you seriously had people who said, who went out and said that back then.
Yeah, yep.
And this is like this is almost 25 years ago.
You see what I'm saying about the crazy motherfuckers leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you end up with is...
Well, we're importing some crazy motherfuckers, too.
Because these European countries apparently won't stand up. They won't... Yeah, I mean, in Finland, you've got those, like, I don't know if they're white nationalist groups or, like, just general nationalist groups who are saying, like, no more refugees, no more immigrants. It's not even Finland. It's a bunch of countries.
Well, that was the whole thing that happened with the Swedish, why there were all those riots in Sweden, because the guy from Denmark burned the Quran.
The yeah. Politician. Did you guys follow that? I was on Tucker Carlson about that.
What happened?
So there was a couple of weeks ago, there was a far-right politician
recently.
From Denmark. Yeah, very recently.
A month
recently.
Ago, a month and a half?
Yeah, a month and a half ago or so, who said, I don't even know if he actually burned the Quran, who said
they
that
said
he was
going to
burn a Quran in Sweden. And he was banned from entering Sweden for that exact reason for a couple of years, but then that ban was lifted, and so he decided to go. And that caused riots. So a lot of these migrants, because there are a lot of migrants coming from the Middle East and Africa in Sweden. And in some of these areas, some of these cities, you have suburbs where it's like 95%. So there are no native Swedes to be found there.
Oh, wow.
And well, these people started riots, and that lasted for days. The police was completely unable to get it under control whatsoever. And, well, you know, the response to it was, and we've seen that for years now, is they said, like, oh, yeah, well, you shouldn't burn Qurans. And I tend to agree. Like, I don't think that burning Qurans is necessarily a good thing or a thing that I want to do. But I'm like, why are you still surprised that these people, you know, are going to respond to this? I said on Tucker, I was like, yeah, okay, you burned their Qurans. They burned down your city. Because these people know what they stand for. They still have a sense of identity. They have a sense of culture. And they have it so much so that they are willing to destroy you if you touch their culture. I'm not saying that's what we should do, but we are on the far opposite of that.
When I went to Sweden, I interviewed a Lebanese guy who said that ISIS was actually in some of these small neighborhoods, saying that they know they can regroup and they can live comfortably and organize in Sweden where they're given resources. And then plan stuff and then send word to the Middle East when they want things to happen. You know?
One of the terrorists who bombed Zaventem Airport in Brussels, I don't know if you guys remember that massive terror attack, he got away and was able to get around all these areas in Brussels in the suburbs for about 3 months before he was caught by the police. So these communities protect each other. He just bombed an airport and there were 250 people killed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Europe, you know? Yeah. Like, there you go.
Frankfurt is not a German-born city anymore. Mm. Native German-born city. I mean, they have the pools that are segregated by women and men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what these cities are like now.
Yeah. That's the paradox of the left, basically, what we talked about with gender segregation. You know, they were like, oh, gender segregation in schools is terrible because boys and girls are equal, so we should have that all together. Then you say, oh, let's import thousands and thousands of people from the Middle East who think that men and women should be separate for completely different reasons than, you know, Europeans thought they should be in the beginning.
Lauren Southern got some flack because when she was in France, she went to a migrant neighborhood and just walked around filming for a few minutes. And then she wrote, France isn't French anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's right.
And she got called like white national and stuff. And it's just like so many of the neighborhoods in France aren't French.
Oh, yeah.
That's
no.
crazy.
No, so many.
Like, why are they doing it?
Why are they importing all these people? Yeah. I mean, it's all for moral reasons. The same way they opened the southern border here in America. It's for moral reasons. If it's like, okay, imagine if you are someone and you have you're a white guy or a white woman and you have a house and you have someone come and clean your house and it's an Irish guy or an Irish woman, you feel kind of bad because that person looks like you. But if someone comes from Guatemala or they come from Bolivia or something like that and they don't look like you, you feel like you're doing something moral.
But the governments know they're blowing themselves up, don't they?
Well, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to them. If you still have the power, if you can still do insider trading in America and get your money, then it doesn't matter to you.
Well, I think there are two sides of the coin. So you have the left that has this sort of utopian idea of society where everyone, every single race, every single gender, every single sex, whatever, can live together and hold hands and it's all happy rainbows and, you know, the world's great. And then you have the neoliberal ruling elites that just want cheap labor. And also, I think, benefit from destabilizing a society. So if you, you know, if you have a lot of different cultures that clash and your social fabric is destroyed, which is basically what happened in these types of cities, you know, what do you get? You get people who have no idea where they're from, what their country is about, what their culture is. You can't say that because otherwise you're going to be called a white nationalist. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's their perfect breeding ground for, again, these mindless consumers that just do what they say and buy what they offer.
Which is funny because Republicans used to be the ones who got blamed for wanting the cheap labor from illegal immigrants.
Yep. I mean, yeah.
Now
we're
it's a complete
ones.
Yeah, they were. They were. And now it's a complete opposite.
It's funny that the white identitarians in Europe just call themselves indigenous rights activists. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you heard that?
I haven't.
Yeah,
actually.
They're like, they're like in France, they were like, we're indigenous. The French are indigenous to France, so we think they should have rights.
Right, but all of these groups, like in France, you had a really strong group called, what were they called? Génération Identitaire, so generation identity.
Yeah,
they're all now banned by the courts there. So it's you're not allowed to say, I'm a part of this group. Mm. Because it's called, I think they classified it as a subversive organization. And that type of laws is, that's actually something that they're implementing everywhere in Europe.
Yep.
Now those countries are shitholes.
Yeah. No, but so people who say these things, like if you are opposing immigration, if you oppose the COVID regulations during COVID, all these countries, we had ministers coming forward saying, oh, people who go to COVID protests, go to the rallies, they're enemies of the state. Mm-hmm. That was the rhetoric that they used. If you're an enemy of the state can use powers against you. Okay. They can lock you up. So you have the legal prerogative to lock up dissonant voices.
You said neoliberal at one point. I'm thinking of the neoconservative. It feels like it might be the same people. Like when the United States went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, the neocon. Yeah.
And they signed the Patriot Act. They could just arrest and bomb and kill anyone at any moment all of a sudden. Yeah. And now, so you're saying with these state powers making people enemy of the state.
Yeah.
Is it extra national? Do you think of it as like a global, some sort of like a corporate?
Oh, it is global. I mean, you would have to be blind to not see that it's global, I think. You know, we see all these leaders say exactly the same thing. They repeat after each other. So these, you know, the World Economic Forum, they try to sort of write it off as, oh, no, it's just, you know, some leaders that are having informal meetings and they have coffee together and they talk about important things. But it's much more than that. Obviously, if you're going to talk about international policies, if you're going to, well, you're literally, as Klaus Schwab said, penetrate the cabinets, then I think you're doing a little bit more than just having tea.
Has he been involved in this since the 70s? Since he started it?
Yeah, very long time. I think, I don't know exactly when he started, but I think this guy has a long track record of being involved with all of this.
I looked at 9/11 when those buildings came down. I was all about, let's go. And then as I started to look at the evidence and scientists and engineers are like, this is a indication of a free fall. These buildings are falling in free fall, which indicates that the supports are blown out. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
No.
These buildings did fall in free fall.
The way they fell was, I think, something to be brought up. But I just want to point out, whenever people say that, it's because you saw a YouTube video talking about it.
A lot of them.
You watch a YouTube video where someone said, this is a thing that's happening.
But it was engineers and scientists and like thousands of them. Well, hundreds of them.
Well, you got to read their actual reports. And there are questions about it. But I don't think the free fall thing is accurate.
It's pretty fucking weird.
I don't know.
There are issues for sure. Because there have been buildings that have hit by planes that haven't collapsed. But the bigger issue I want to bring up, not to get into the 9/11 stuff, conspiracies though, do you know how many buildings fell on 9/11?
Tell me. You
obviously know 9/11 is.
Yeah. Well, we have the two major
Do you know
towers.
How many buildings fell on 9/11?
I know how many buildings were hit. You had the two buildings in the Pentagon.
How many buildings fell on 9/11?
I don't know.
What's your guess?
I mean, two.
Three.
Three.
World Trade Center 7 also collapsed. People don't know that. Why not? Mm. I thought we said never forget, Will.
You really? I'm glad this is on the website and not on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's more common
knowledge. No one knows this. Nobody knows this.
Right.
Yeah. Go to New York. Walk up to someone and say, quick question. How many buildings fell on 9/11? I'll say two.
Right.
It's three. World Trade Center 7 was never hit. It just fell.
Yeah.
It just crumpled and fell.
I mean, even worse than that, I did a video for Prager where I asked people what happened on 9/11 and they didn't know. So, I mean, it's even worse than knowing how many buildings fell. They didn't even know.
Watch. Let me pull up the video of the building falling.
To the 47-story World Trade Center Building 7 on September 11th.
How the fuck? What the fuck?
That's a controlled demolition.
Well, I don't even want to say that, okay?
Oh, it indicates a controlled demolition.
No, hold on. See, this is a problem with conspiracy theories. You have already drawn a conclusion.
It indicates a free fall, which indicates a controlled demolition, that the supports are blown out.
You could also argue a portal was opened underneath.
Well, NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology, that did the official report, said that it fell because of a fire, an office fire, and the building collapsed.
Multiple fires, and gas tanks were popping, knocking out support columns. If you're going to argue there's a controlled demolition, we have to ask, how did bombs even get in the building? Because you'd have to put shitloads of bombs. The issue I have with that is you might as well say a portal opened or aliens shot it. Like, if you have no explanation for how they did it, we don't know what happened other than this building should
have fallen.
And
that's why I brought up, how the fuck, if there were bombs planted on the support structures beforehand to demolish these buildings, who did it? I don't know. But was it the World Economic Forum, or is it some foreign corporation that bribed some elevator workers to go in there for a year before the event?
I don't want to get into a whole nother.
I just think that this wasn't a national event. This feels like corporations were involved. I don't know.
A lot of people made a lot of money.
Bro,
I gotta slow you down. Okay, slow you down.
Thanks, Bill. I called you Bill for a second. I had this conversation with Bill Ottman a lot of times. I think that's one.
Here's what we can say. Most people don't know three buildings fell. Why is that? The media is not telling them. Like, shouldn't this have been common knowledge for the average person? It wasn't. What conclusions can we draw based on everything we've seen? The official story is not true. That doesn't mean it's entirely false. It means obviously the government keeps secrets and not telling you everything. Why would the U.S. government come out and be like, here's all of how our security was breached? They wouldn't do that. So we don't know exactly what happened. There's a lot of weird shit. Anyway, I don't want to go off on a 9/11 thing. I was simply bringing it up because the point is, with all of the weird shit going on in the world, the one thing that I think is happening is an awakening, a red pilling.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, how many buildings fell, most people don't know. People are starting to wake up and be like, hey, wait a minute. Things aren't what I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things we thought we knew about history are not true. Now you're getting more and more people who are waking up to the bullshit, waking up to the Davos Group, the World Economic Forum, and the things they want, the things they believe. It's the internet that's helping this happen.
Yes.
And they're very pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you were completely right about that sort of awakening, even for conservatives. I mean, we've really bought into the Patriot Act, and for example, with immigration as well, you know, with mass migration happening and our cities becoming more and more dangerous in Europe, all the conservatives were saying, oh yeah, we need more police forces, we need cameras, we need, you know, more surveillance, more security. Because we, you know, if you think that you have a high chance of being bombed by a terrorist on the street at random, which in 2015 in Europe actually was a possibility, seeing how often it happened, you know, you're very quick to say, protect me, state, you know? So that, I think those types of laws that were created then are now being used against us.
I remember them saying, it's going to be used against 2006. They're like, the Patriot Act will one day could be used against you. And people are like,
we're laughing about it. Or we thought that the danger was too big, so something needed to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And now, well, I mean, during COVID, what we saw, what they could do and what they're doing with those laws. And we have a law in place in Holland that's about dissembling subversive organizations. And they can do that with a court order without like any type of motivation. So they can just say, okay, we need to stop your business now. We need to stop your organization now. Take away your funds and relocate it to the state and no questions asked. And that is subversive organization. That could be me. That could be you.
Could it just be like two people talking?
If you formalize it into a foundation, if you say we have a business, for example, yeah.
I want to play this clip from Rick and Morty. So they're inside Rick's memory, and he's like, oh, yes, this is the memory of, you know, 9/11 or whatever. And so I'm going to play this clip. It's funny.
Oh, that sounds cool. I can get what I want, and you can say goodbye.
Fine, but I'm driving. An excuse to strip away our
freedom. Did you hear what he said in the background?
Yeah.
No, what did he say?
So here's Rick in the background in his memory of watching 9/11. And as they're talking, Rick in the background very quietly says, oh, God, they'll use it as an excuse to take away our freedoms.
Holy
shit. Regardless of what
never
you think
never waste
about,
a tragedy?
Never let a good tragedy go to waste. No. Or a good crisis.
Crisis go to waste.
And here we are.
It felt so weird how fast Halliburton got into the Middle East and got all these deals of defense contracts.
They were ready to go.
Yeah.
They were on the border of Afghanistan. Like, they were ready to fire. These people want war. They want blood. Now they're doing it in Ukraine, and they want all of us to pay for it. Meanwhile, we can't get food.
And it seems like George Bush was too much of an idiot. Like, he didn't seem like the guy that made it happen. It seemed like it was coming from above. Like, it was a business tactic.
Did you guys see the video where he's like, one man's unholy, illegal invasion of Iraq? I mean, Ukraine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a piece of trash. You know, Democrats have a more favorable view of George W. Bush than Republicans do?
Oh, I bet.
They say why? Yeah.
Fucking insane.
They say why?
I think it's because the neocons became Democrats.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And the that's it.
Yeah. There Bill Kristol. I remember when he switched parties. That was very strange.
Yeah, now he's like not pro-life anymore. Like, yo, you guys
Bill Kristol is the worst. I mean, he's, he wants to go, there's not a war he doesn't like. Bill Kristol is a political commentator. He used to be basically on the right. Now all he does is warmonger about America going to more wars.
Oh, the ones we like the most.
The ones we love. Yeah, those guys. I thought that Kissinger speaking out against the Ukrainian-Russian war was interesting because he's a proponent of limited war. Since he has been since the 70s, Vietnam, he loves it. He wants these proxy wars where we can pay these corporations to build bombs and blow them up and then we don't have to bomb our own territory or Russia's own territory. But he even sees how fucked Ukraine can get. Like, he's like, yo, if we don't stop this,
George Soros says it's gonna end civilization.
Yep. Can't toy with fire.
When the actual lizard person, you know, I'm kidding. Media Matters, it's a joke. When George Soros.
Is it? Eat more collagen, George.
My brother made a funny joke. He called him George Soros.
Oh, yeah, George Soros.
George Soros. Is that what you mean?
Like George that. Soros. Yeah, he said the end of civilization.
I think Russia will use nukes. Well, you think? I don't think so.
Yep.
I don't think it'll get to that point. I can't see it happening.
If Russia fired a 100-kiloton bomb at Kiev, they'd win the war overnight.
Yeah, but why would they want to destroy the territory that they're trying to take over?
To win the war overnight.
But if they're trying to take it over as a means of, you know, this was our territory, this is what we want, I don't think they'd want to kill everyone.
Don't you think they'd nuke another place?
No, they'd have to take out the seat of power in Ukraine. And if they use a 100-kiloton bomb, would only hit the inner city limits of Kiev, it would kill, I think, 180,000 people. But it would cause every single Ukrainian serviceman to desert. That NATO would have NATO. The one reason I think they won't is that NATO would formally declare war.
Yeah.
But NATO's already declared war, unofficially at war.
Anyway.
Yeah, sure. Right. It's a de facto war. Yeah. They're giving intelligence to blow up Russian ships and everything. So Russia doesn't want to give them an excuse for actual ground forces being involved. But no. I think if Vladimir Putin knows he's about to die or going to lose, he'll fire some missiles.
You think it's going to get to a place where you think he knows that he's going to lose? It doesn't feel like that way right now.
They're reporting that he has blood cancer and that he's scared of an assassination.
Fake news.
You can see him surrounded by doctors and guards.
Oh, wow.
He is. Maybe he's putting that out on purpose. And so.
Who knows?
Come on, dude. The guy's 70 years old.
True. Is he actually 70? 70?
Yes.
Yeah.
Looks good for 70.
Oh, yeah. Looking sharp.
He might be 69. I think he's 70.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but he's looking worse and worse. Have you seen the photos of him? He's getting bloated and swollen.
Damn.
So there's reports that he's got blood cancer and he may be dying. Maybe not. But if he is, homeboy's going to be like, fuck you. I'll fire a nuke.
Yeah.
And what can we do about it?
Born in 52. What does that make him? 68? Oh, yeah. 70 exactly. Yeah. Thanks. October, so he's 69.
Well, I don't know if
69, dude. Hey, nice. I don't think that Taiwan is going to get invaded. I don't either. Because China, the CCP is seeing what happened to Russia fiscally, and the CCP is all about money.
They already have been shoring up their financial defenses.
They've
been making a bunch of investment moves over the past couple years.
I don't think they're gonna bankrupt their country. It's too risky financially. Well,
they wouldn't be if they're teaming up with Russia.
I don't think they're going to team up with Russia. I think China is already having such horrible demographic problems in their country with their age and the amount of abortions that they did that they're going to be having some sort of civil war.
Yeah,
I think that it's going to come into a civil war in China. That, again, is still going to disrupt the global economy massively.
Yep.
But I don't think that China is going to be the power. People thought that China is going to be this powerhouse that's going to take over the world. But just based on their percentage of old people that they're going to have to take care of and no young people and men who are totally disenfranchised with society because they can't find a date because of the one-child policy, they're totally screwed.
It's going to be global civil war.
Yeah.
Because when the U.S. and China both rip each other apart, all these other countries are going to be losing it without this – like we're – you know, people are fearing a multipolar world where there's more than one power. Right now it's unipolar. It's the U.S. What if it's a nonpolar world?
Yeah.
You're going to have cartels being like, now's our chance. Seize territory and all that shit.
Yeah.
You think so?
I mean, they've already seized the border. I mean, the border is basically the cartels. They can get anyone across and give them a story.
Or Schwab and the Davos group and Swiss Guard, whatever, they say it's ours now.
Emergency law everywhere.
Yep.
Well, that's a World Health Organization treaty.
I mean, on my last blog on Substack, I wrote a bit about the international health regulations that actually Biden's administration put the amendments forward for. I don't know if you've seen any of that.
No.
So the you have the World Economic Forum that is together right now, that is convened, but also the World Health Assembly.
Oh, that is right.
The executive branch of the World Health Organization. And they are vote or they were voting yesterday, and I haven't yet checked if those amendments have passed, on the international health regulations, which is a set of legally, like international legally binding regulations for every single country in the world that stems from 2005. And the Biden administration put forward all of these amendments to it, which basically would allow the World Health Organization to decide when there is a public health risk for every single country in the world. So they decide that. Dr. Tedros decides that. And it even says in one of the amendments that they put forward that they're, even when they don't meet the criteria necessary for a public health risk, they can still say that there is a public health risk.
So we will we will see exactly what happens with Global Conquest, but we're out of time, so we'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
But where can people
check? She can keep
it?
Going.
Oh, on this? Great, endlessly, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but thank you both so much for hanging out. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
Definitely, man. Thanks
yeah.
for having us
yeah,
on.
So
I mean, coming
absolutely.
Out here and being here really
yeah,
means
well,
a lot.
You're,
so, thank
you're
you.
Both welcome to come on anytime
yeah,
in the future.
Absolutely.
And for everybody who's a member making all this possible, you know we love you and thank you so much. Now, if you go to timcast.com just before the show, it will be live on the website with chat and everything. So we got a bunch more developments coming. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.